Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here, broadcasting from the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Safe distance from the demise of Western civilization. I'm a father, I'm a pastor, and trying to bring a biblical way of thinking to a modern world where we've pretty much lost any sense of truth, any sense of worldview, any sense of relationships, any sense of direction and purpose to society. But we're trying to draw it from the standards of the Word of God, the biblical revelation, a Christian worldview. Remember, Christians, they used to walk the earth, at least in the Western world, but still a few left here in my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Well, some people refer to us as the right-wing extremists, but we would prefer to call ourselves biblically minded, and from time to time we run into stories where there are people who are indeed sort of the extremist, the real extremists, and they do odd things. They do weird things, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. In the news this morning, of course, the Michigan militia group, something like 8 or 9 people got arrested for planning the overthrow of the U.S. government. So, Dave, I'm not exactly sure how 8 or 9 people were going to overthrow the U.S. government. I went to their website, about every third word misspelled. These guys, they can't even spell their mission statement. You know, they can't even get it out in proper grammar. And these people think somehow they're going to take over, I guess. You know, and I think they're just the apocalyptic, your typical folks afraid the Antichrist is going to show up, and they want to prepare with a few pipe bombs and maybe a few weapons to ward off the Antichrist.
Kevin, I don't think you should minimize this group. This group is a very dangerous group. The FBI would not be involved unless they were a dangerous group. Why, it was this group that blew up the trains in London a few years ago. It was
that was the Muslims.
Okay. Yeah. It was this group that did the thing in Spain.
No, that was the Muslims as well.
It was this group that flew into the trade...
No, they were Muslims.
They beheaded.
No beheadings so far.
But they're... But
they misspelled a lot of
they
words.
They misspelled words on their website.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've said before that the bad eschatologies will generally result in really terrible theology, sociology, and everything else. And that's what we're seeing with some of these real strange extremist groups in America. And personally, I think we are dealing with tyranny. Yeah. And I'm not sure the best way to deal with tyranny is to prepare for the Antichrist by making pipe bombs and storing them in your basement. That's a bad idea. That's not going to do the job for you. Moreover, I don't see the apostles doing this, Dave. They ran into some tyranny in Rome, you remember. Don't see a lot of this planning to overthrow the Roman government among the apostles.
But Moses did.
Yeah, you know what? They did something even more insidious than all of that. That was preaching of the Word of God.
That was the apostles.
The apostles preached the Word of God and turned the world upside down. And personally, I believe that the sword of the Word of God, and properly preached, properly exposited, and by the way, the exposition of Romans 13 would be, I think, helpful for groups like this. The proper exposition of the Word of God and the creating of godly families, godly churches, and godly communities by means of the Word of God and the law of God as it's worked out in our lives, I think will pretty much do the job. And you don't need to collect pipe bombs. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, we're going to talk about another extremist activity that occurred in California. Somebody beat their kid to death while they were disciplining the child. And this is not the first time this has happened. And they were a homeschooling family to boot. Some real strange ideas floating around the homeschooling audiences across America. I tell you, I run into them all the time. It is chaos out there when it comes to child discipline. And the end result of what some parents do and the philosophies and theologies that some people incorporate into their disciplining and training of their children is astounding, astonishing. We'll be back in just a moment with some warnings and I think a critical message on this edition of Generations.
Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, You need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio Program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org.
Welcome back to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, father of five, in studio today. And before me is a heart-rending story from California. And in some senses, I think parents are afraid that these sorts of things could happen to anybody taken into custody on charges of child abuse. But in this case, the child died. That's right, folks. The child died. A Paradise Couple Tuesday were charged with the murder of their 7-year-old adopted daughter during a discipline session at the family home last Friday, and the torture, quote-unquote, the previous day of her 11-year-old sister, who remains in critical condition at a Sacramento hospital. County District Attorney Mike Ramsey said Tuesday both children sustained extensive bruising and whip-like marks on their bodies that were consistent with a length of rubber or plastic tubing, which other family members said was used to discipline the children. The girl was resuscitated at Feather River Hospital but was pronounced dead later that morning before she could be airlifted to Sutter Memorial Hospital in Sacramento. Her 11-year-old adoptive sister, Zariah Schatz, was listed Tuesday in critical condition at the Sacramento Children's Hospital, suffering from kidney failure, among other injuries. She is undergoing dialysis treatment in hopes it will help the organs recover, though Ramsey said doctors told him it's too early to tell. A shocking story here. A shocking story. The DA said the evidence suggests the girl who died was being disciplined for hours last Friday in the parents' bedroom for mispronouncing a word during a homeschool reading lesson. Again, none of these facts substantiated in a court of law. We have no idea what's true and what isn't true about this story at this point. But the fact of the matter is, folks, you can do things badly in discipline. And I want to comment a little bit on this story again. This happened, I believe, in February. So just about a month ago. I'm referring to it because we've had a number of listeners contact us relating to this story, and they want our comment on what was going on here and our own comment concerning some philosophies in the homeschooling market. And by the way, there's an extensive story in Salon.com about this very event that happened near Sacramento last month, and they do refer. Butte County District Attorney Mike Ramsey told Salon that the Schatzes had explicitly described the police their adherence to a popular homeschool ministry. Now, I put the term a popular homeschool ministry in there because I did not want to in any way slam another ministry out there by name. However, I will tell you that I take issue with certain philosophies concerning homeschooling and child training. And I speak around the nation on these things. And one of my most important talks that I bring to conferences all the time is my talk on training, the training of children and bringing balance back into the training of children. Biblical balance is essential. The training of children, I see these things out of balance all the time, Dave. I see their theology out of balance. They don't understand the balance of grace and works. They don't understand the balance of faith and works. They don't understand the balance of the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of men in training. Their theology is bad, and then their application is terrible. And I think a lot of parents open themselves up for all kinds of failure in the training of children. Now, as I began to investigate the philosophy of this particular ministry that this particular family was involved with, Dave, I found some quotes that I disagree with explicitly concerning the training of children. It is, I think, explicitly unbiblical in what they are training children. And this particular ministry has I guess something like a million books in print right now. So it's very, very popular around America. But what I find are the treatment of the rod as a magic wand. Now, let me say, first of all, that I believe that there has to be some level of discipline within the home. That's important. The permissiveness of the present age is unacceptable. Now, that said, I think there's a lot of people that react against the permissiveness of the age and bring in a bad theology and a bad orthopraxy in the discipline of children. They don't understand the biblical treatment of the training of children and hence wind up making a lot of mistakes in this area. And again, these particular folks treat the rod as a magic wand. I want you to think about those words. Magic wand. Magic wand. And what are they saying? They're saying that what we're doing when we're training children is conditioning children. Training is the conditioning of the child's mind. Again, this is what I've taken out of this ministry's writings, and they're hugely popular among a lot of homeschoolers. Training is the conditioning of the child's mind. As animals are conditioned to respond to the trainer's voice command. So again, comparing children to animals and saying these children are like animals and should be trained as animals, conditioned as animals. And Dave, this brings up the whole psychological hooey stuff that Pavlov gave us, where you're supposed to train an animal or train a child as you would condition somebody to an external response. This is a terrible, terrible rendition of what biblical training is all about.
Kevin, they beat them ostensibly for mispronouncing a word. Mispronouncing a word, although...
Now, we don't know if that's true or not.
Well, but let's just go on that part of the story and assume that it's true for us for the sake of discussion. Mispronouncing a word is, although perhaps not a good thing, certainly not an issue of sin from the heart. A child, you know, unless they're doing it on purpose to annoy their parents, mispronouncing a word is an education issue. It's an ignorance issue. It's an issue in which a child can be discipled to speak things properly. But I don't know. Maybe they have a speech impediment. Maybe it's a reading impediment. Maybe they just don't know how to pronounce the word correctly. But that's not the right use of the rod. The rod is a disciplining device for sin. For sin. Now, occasionally you have a child, perhaps who's small, 2 years old, runs out in the street and plays. Now, you might bring the rod there just to let them know that, bad things happen when you play out in the street, and don't do that again, and we'll talk about why when you're four.
And again, this ministry considers the rod to be good for believers and unbelievers because it's not intended to train godly children. Okay. The rod is not intended to train godly children. The rod is intended to train animals to act in a certain way. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a bad anthropology. A really, really, really stinking bad anthropology. And I'm saying ideas have consequences. And I'm saying that if you pick up books on training children that have a bad anthropology and a bad theology and a bad exegetics concerning the Word of God, you're going to wind up making a lot of bad mistakes in your life. And Dave, when you have this conditioning idea and you're trying to condition the external obedience, apart from the training of the heart, you know what happens? I've seen it happen 100 times. I've seen it happen once in all my counseling of all these homeschooling families. I have seen so many of these nice little homeschooling families that have had this conditioning going on, and they have been trained to condition their children, and they've been doing it for 10, 15, 20 years, and their children have got all of the outside all whipped down and trained up, and all that evil and all that sin is all bottled up on the inside of their hearts, and they have some of the most corrupt hearts, and in the end wind up with some of the most amazing sins, the most horrific evil in those families that I have ever seen, because of this radical separation of the external obedience and the internal activity of the heart. You can't separate them. You don't separate them in training. The rod cannot be separated from the training of the heart, friends. And that kind of theology is damaging. And here's one more thing, Dave, that I take issue with. And I take issue with it biblically. I'm going to draw in Deuteronomy 6:7 in just a moment. But listen, folks, this is a quote from what I believe to be some ministry writings that have affected a lot of homeschoolers, and I think a lot of times in a negative way. Listen to what they say. Continue to whip the child until the crying turns into a wounded, submissive whimper or without breath to complain. When it is obvious he is totally broken, you hand him the rag and tell him calmly, "Now, Johnny, clean up your mess." When it's obvious you have whipped and whipped and whipped and whipped him into utter and absolute submission, total, total brokenness, now you've got a well-conditioned horse. Okay, that's the philosophy. That's what a million families in America have heard. Now, what does the Word of God say about breaking the will? And I've heard this, Dave. I remember early on in my child training years, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, when I was hearing people on how to train a child, and let's get away from this permissiveness stuff, and let's go out there and start breaking that child's will. If that child is not submitting in an absolute sense, you will make him submit if you beat him 400,000 times. By the way, the Bible limits it to 40 times, and that's for the worst possible criminals out there, okay? So the Bible has a limitation. There's no way that anybody is ever going to be beat more than 40 times. So the Bible has a limit itself. And this hours and hours and hours of training that evidently was happening in this home is just, I mean, incredible, Dave. Obviously, they read this. He has got to be totally broken. He has got to be totally broken. So they said, well, we're just going to do it if it takes 1,000 times, if it takes 16 hours, we're going to totally break this little girl. And they took it seriously. They took these words seriously. These are dangerous words, friends. Dangerous words. Why? Because Deuteronomy 6:7, Shinantam. How do you train a child? How do you teach a child? Shinantam. Shinantam. As you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. The Bible uses the word Shinantam, which is the word for polishing a sword. And when a child comes out, yeah, he's a little blunt. This sword's a little blunt. When a child comes out, he's going to be rebellious. He's going to have a really rebellious heart. You're going to be able to fix that? In 20 swats, you're going to be able to fix that in one sitting, in one training session? You've got to be kidding yourself. If you think you're going to fix it, you'll fix the external. Yeah, you'll get a nice little sweet fix on the external within about 10 minutes with some of the more submissive types. But you get a hard-edged, hard-willed kid whose heart shows on the outside, and he's going to let it show on the outside. He's going to be honest with you how he feels about you. You're not going to fix that in 2 seconds flat and 10 minutes flat. No. The biblical concept is you don't break that sword. You do not break that sword. Shinantam is you polish the sword. You polish it. You polish it. How many times does it take when you got a blunt sword that's, quarter inch, doesn't really have a fine edge, it comes out a quarter inch out of that refining pot? How many times are you going to have to take that steel surface down? I'd say 100,000 times. It's going to take you years. It's going to take 18 years. You're going to have to get back to it again and again and again and again and again. You don't fix these children overnight. You know, and that's the impression you get from these people's writings, Dave, that somehow that little hyperactive ADD, ADHD, two-year-old little boy is going to be sitting still in his chair, and he's not going to be moving an inch, and he's going to be pronouncing his words right within 10 minutes or bust. Well, Dave, you know, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people out there with very well-behaved children, and okay, maybe it was a little easier for them. There's some tough kids out there, and it's going to take some patience, some endurance, some long-term encouragement, and yes, some corrective discipline from time to time, but you sit in there for the long haul, and you know that you're going to be polishing that, you're going to be shaping the child over a long period of time, and that little boy's not going to be just like these guys say he's supposed to be overnight. He's not going to be that way, and I think in telling these families, you turn him into a nice, whimpering, submissive, little, nice little boy within 2 minutes or 10 minutes or 12 minutes in one particular sitting, that doesn't happen.
Kevin, you said that's how you train a horse, but that's not even good horse training. That may be how Islam does it. Islam beats you into submission. Islam says you submit and you do it my way, or we're going to step on your throat, which is part of the derivative of the word, the etymology of the word Islam has to do with submission, a picture of somebody stepping on their throat. You either submit and you do the bowing to Mecca and you do all the externals, or we're coming after you. That's Islam. This is not Christianity. Christianity loves the child. The Christianity goes for the heart of the child because Jesus sees into the heart. Now, Allah doesn't see into the heart. Allah only cares about the outside. Christians care about the inside. Jesus wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. With the heart, yes, and outside. It is heart and it is hands. And we, when we bring the rod to the child, we do that not because the child's embarrassing us, not because the child's breaking our stuff, not because the child's inconvenient. We do that to sanctify the child. which means we do it sparingly and we do it in love, and we always reaffirm that, even as God loved us. Christianity is sacrificial love towards a child. Islam, that's the other worldview. That's the one where it says you just do whatever it takes to make them behave a certain way, and then, you know, we're not going to kill you.
And again, my beef with this, Dave, is that they insist that that child be totally broken. Let me say that one more time. Totally broken. Absolutely, totally broken. Folks, that's not the way we do it. We shape. We shape the child. He's not going to be the nice, perfect, submissive little child overnight. You're going to get a little teeny bit of submission here, and then a teeny bit more submission there, and a teeny bit more of obedience and honor for mom and dad over here, and a teeny bit little bit more diligence and hard work over here, and a teeny bit more over there, and a teeny bit over here. And inch by inch, centimeter by centimeter, we're going to see some improvement over the years. But Dave, I think it's encouraging to parents to know that, you know, you got to be in it for the long haul. It's going to take some time. And a lot of these adopted children come from very, very rough backgrounds. That's why I think most, if not all, of the massive abuse issues that I've seen are among adoptive children. And I think we need to remind these poor parents that you're not going to correct these children and all of the abuse they've seen in the past and all of the sin and all of the bad habits they've created and perhaps some generational sin. You're not going to correct these things overnight. It's going to take a long, long, long time to teach them and to remind them and to set hopefully a good example before them of repentance yourself. They've got to see repentance in you, and you're not going to repent of your sins overnight. It's going to take you some time as well. As God patiently works with you, you need to work patiently with your little ones.
Kevin, I think the picture that we want parents to understand is when a child has a hard heart, the heart needs to be softened. It needs to be immersed in the Word of God and the love of Christ. And it needs to work and soak in. And it may take 18 years. And praise God, for some people, He waits 18 years patiently, working them, softening them, softening them. So when obedience comes to God's Word, it comes out of love for their Savior, out of respect, love of His authority that He's put there on earth, parents and others, not out of just pain avoidance, which is the other way. The other way is to say you will do what I say to avoid pain. Now, true, there's always pain when we disobey God, but that's not how we soften hearts. We soften hearts with sacrificial love, and it takes time. And we need to be patient with our children, and we need to understand that they're not likely to be better than we are unless we're better than we are.
Bad philosophy in child training can be lethal. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm not just talking about a child losing his life. I'm talking about the way that you raise your children will often result in whether your children will suppress all that hatred, all that evil, all that sin within their own hearts because you have not been shepherding their hearts over all those years. The kind of child training that you apply to your children is critical. It will result in success or failure. Of course, it all relies upon the grace of God. And Dave, as we talk about balance, let's remember it's the sovereignty of God that will change those hearts. And this idea that somehow we can push these buttons and we can just whip this child enough and we will save him automatically if we just do this, if we just engage human responsibility, but not rely on the sovereign grace of God and the sovereignty of God in changing the hearts of our children. Folks, we've lost the biblical message. And again, folks, I think we need to bring in balance with the Shenantam. Yes, we need to polish the sword. We need to be molding and patiently working with our children over all those 18 years or however long God gives us with those children. But also, remember, there's also the Hebrew word shikar. Comes out in Proverbs 23:24. He that spares his rod hates his son, but he that loves him chastens him early, chastens him shikar, and that's the picture of the parent that is on his game, isn't going to let things go forever and ever. He's going to be consistent. He's going to make sure that he corrects his child. If his child is being complaining over here, you remind them. You know, the Word of God wants us to be thankful and grateful. Let's get down on our knees and pray right now. And so every time we start to see a little bit of a problem, we need to be on it. That's a picture of the gardener who is, you know, coming up early in the morning, looking for weeds, looking for weeds, looking for... Oh, he finds a weed. He grabs the weed. He pulls it, and he keeps looking and keeps looking. A little weed pops up. He gets that again. You know, he's on his game. He's fairly consistent. He addresses things as he needs to. So, again, I think there is this idea that we need to be consistent and persistent, and we need to continue to be faithful gardeners as we train our children. But, again, folks, you don't fix your children. You don't fix them. You don't break them. You don't break them. You don't break them. You shape them. You shape them. You shape them. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the biblical balance in the area of child training. Now, I've got 7 balances that I bring out in one of my talks on child training. And by the way, you can get my talks on a little CD collection called Vision for Generations. If you'd like to grab a copy of that, just go to our website and grab my CD set, Vision for Generations. It includes the little talk on training, which I believe is a critical, critical talk, because it deals with the most fundamental issue that we have as we raise our children to be the godly men and women that we want them to be. Ladies and gentlemen, again, you can get our resources at my website, kevinswanson.com, where you can hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world. That's kevinswanson.com. You can also pick up the program on television now at the homeschoolchannel.tv, sponsored by the American Family Association. Again, that's the homeschoolchannel.tv. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.